Hey, my name's Emma.
Hey, my name's Maddie.
And you're listening to The Pilots Pandemic. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to this week's episode of The Pilots Pandemic podcast. You're here with your host, Emma, and our beautiful, most lovely co-host, Maddie.
Hi, guys.
And we are here solo dolo this week, and we've got a rather heavy show, but as we like to do at the beginning, start off with something light. Maddie, I'll let you lead because you've had some really exciting life things going on. So yeah, get into it.
Yes, I feel like I'm growing up. I'm becoming more of an adult, and me and my husband, we just bought a house, which is our very, very exciting and something we were like, we've always wanted, obviously, but we've lived in this apartment building for probably, gosh, eight, almost 10 years now. So it's something that we were like, it'll come when the time comes. And honestly, that's exactly what happened. Like, everything lined up so perfectly. Our lease here at our apartment ends in March, and we signed on our house and closed at the end of January. So we're moving in right now. It's February 1st. So it's a move-in day, and it's just such a crazy feeling to know that we have a house, and I'm a little bit sad to leave this apartment complex. Emma's been here. It's just a beautiful place. I live right on the water. I have a water view. I live next to trails, next to the grocery store. Fairhaven is a historical like city, so it's just a little bit sad to leave in that way, but we are excited for our next chapter, and only about 10 minutes from where we used to live. So we get to stay in Bellingham, and we love it here. So yeah, that's the exciting stuff that's happening for us amongst the sad news that we'll talk about later.
Yeah, no, it's always like, I can imagine it's a little bit bittersweet because there are so many memories in your apartment. I know for us, like, so we're about to move, and the apartment complex that we're in right now was the apartment complex that Zach lived at when I met him. And I'll never forget when he moved out of that apartment. Oh my gosh, it was like the last night we spent there. And then that day, it was so sad. I remember I cried. I don't know why, because I never lived there, but Zach did. I just, it was this big chapter for us, and it's where we met. And then, gosh, what was it like? A couple of years later, we decided to move back to Charleston, and now we live in the same complex, but we're about to move. That'll be, I don't know how I'm going to feel on that day. Right now, as it stands, I'm so ready to get out of here. We have, like I said on a recent solo episode, we have just completely outgrown our space. And that kind of drives me insane a little bit and can eat at my mental health in a way. Like, it gives me anxiety knowing that everywhere I look, like, there's just something stashed and it could be put away properly if I had enough space to do so. So yeah. I'm really ready to have my own space. I'm excited to have another bedroom so that people can come visit me and it's just more comfortable. I've got literally everything to have a spare bedroom, but don't have a spare bedroom. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, no, it'll be a bittersweet day. I know when it comes, I'm gonna be crying, like, thinking about, because this was our first big chapter together. So it'll be closing one door to open up, hopefully a brighter, fresher, brighter, emphasis on brighter. My apartment now is dark.
Yes.
I need some more natural sunlight.
I feel like I'm really going to miss the pool time though, like with you. Like, that was such a highlight whenever I would come over.
Yeah, no, that is going to be a little bit of a downside because we're in an apartment complex and the places that we're looking at now are like townhomes and standalone houses. There's no access to a pool. And I'm like, holy shit, I don't know what I'm going to do in the summer without a pool, which I've been working so hard. And then you and I've been working so hard on so many different things that I don't even know if we'd have time to go to the pool in our off time.
We don't,
but yeah. it'll force us to go to the beach when you come here. I think that'll be the thing, but maybe I'll get like I'll find somewhere where I can get like a pool, like a membership, like a 3-month membership.
I can just see us now, like, getting like one of the kids' inflatable pools and just filling it up with like 1 foot of water and sitting in it with our drinks.
Oh my God, dude. Oh, did you do that when you were little?
Yes.
I used to do that all the time and I would turn it into a bubble bath.
I didn't
like,
do
you
that.
Know what? Two rocks, two birds. Wait, what is it? Two birds, one stone,
one stone.
Rock, two birds.
All the stones.
I was like, I'm already here. Might as well bathe myself. But yeah, no, I'm excited for the new chapter. And I'm so happy for you, Maddie. I've been making Maddie give me like the virtual tour this morning and stuff. And it's just, it's exciting to see you grow. And I'm so glad that I was able to visit you at your apartment to see like both of your chapters. So
yeah,
I cannot wait for you, Pookie.
I can't wait either. And also I'm so excited because Emma is coming to visit in like, wait, next week or the week after, I think less than two weeks.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
But okay. So, and I'm excited about that. And I could talk about that. I feel like we're diverting from this. Okay. Well, I don't really feel like there's like a good way to talk about this. And I'm getting awkward. I'm sorry, guys. And I'll just give y'all a trigger warning right now. Like I said, this week's episode is going to be, it's going to be heavy. I know like a lot of people have heard about the terrible news of the student in Texas, but Maddie and I wanted to take a moment at the beginning of the show and fuck, I'm going to cry. Sorry. I really thought I could get through this without crying. Last week, the same day that we found out about the student in Texas, we found out that one of our previous guests and friend, John Dvorak, took his life as well. John was just a dear guest of ours. He was on the show. It wasn't even that long ago. I think it was like episode 72 or 73. But we just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge that. We're also going to talk about the student in Texas. But I'm at a loss for words, you guys. Like, I don't know. I know Maddie called me. We talked for, I don't even know how long we were on the phone together, but I'm just heartbroken. There's nothing that I don't even know what to say. I feel like in some ways I feel like I failed. Like one half of me feels really disappointed in myself, and I know that's not right, but I don't know. You know, this kind of stuff has been, these suicides have been happening since Maddie and I have been doing this, but this hit very close to home. I wish I had more words. I wish I had more thoughts, but I'm just like, I'm angry. I'm really, really sad, but I'm really fucking angry because I feel like you and I have been doing this for long enough and enough people have passed that change needs to happen. It needs to happen quickly. And the FA needs to make it known that they are working on it. And I know that there are things going on right now and things that we don't see that are behind the scenes, but like every day that passes by is a day that we lose somebody, is a day that we potentially lose somebody. And I don't understand what isn't clicking yet for these fucking people. Maddie, I don't know if you want to speak on that at all. And I'm sorry, forgive me for being emotional. It's just like, I don't even know how you process that. I cannot believe that this I just cannot believe it.
How we got connected with John, I'll just give the backstory before we start talking about him. And I'm glad that you are emotional because I'm trying to hold it together myself. But Jamie Drain, who is also on the podcast and shared about her husband, James, who had also took his life, she connected us with John because John was friends with James. And so John was a captain at Southwest, but he had to take himself off the line because obviously he was having those suicidal thoughts. So he was our only person that we've had on the podcast who has survived a suicide attempt and multiple attempts at that. And I think what the hardest part for Emma and I is like when we talk to John, and I think even in the podcast, which I've not listened, but these are things that kind of stick in my memory of what we talked about on the recording with him. And I can't bring myself to listen to the recording, otherwise I would. But I remember him like kind of full circling in his story and me really thinking, wow, like he's really turned his life around. Like, things have come back for him, and he's really on the top of where he used to be. You know, he was on a slow downhill roll, and now he's on the top. And for me, I think what's hard is, like, I really thought that he was better, but that I have to remember, like, mental health is such a spectrum. Like, even though you may feel good one day, it can always turn around and be hard the next day. And so depression is something that you always battle and struggle with. And for John, I just still can't believe he's gone. Jamie had notified me and was like, I didn't realize, I had forgotten that he'd been on your podcast, but it was John who took his life. And you guys, he was just the sweetest person. Like, that was one thing that Emma and I really noticed when we spoke with him, is that he was a very sensitive, emotional, gentle soul. And I could tell that he really cared. And I think when he came on the podcast, that was one of his main goals, was like, I really want to let people know that it's okay to feel this way. And I really hope it helps someone. And after when Emma's getting ready, editing the podcast and everything, John notified us again. He was like, I'm really nervous for people to hear what I have to say. And I'm scared that people are going to judge me because of my story. And I had to just remind him, like, that is the stigma bearing down on you, John. And people need to hear your story. Like, your story is important. And we have to remember, like, not only does the FA not move, and they move at a snail's pace, but I feel like a lot of the reason change hasn't happened is because they really stifled people's voices, aviators' voices, to tell their stories. And if more people felt okay to tell their story, that this wouldn't be such a taboo subject, that this would be something that's okay to talk about. So I really encourage all of the guests out there who haven't told their story to come forward, because I think it's really important. And even if it's hard, it's something that other people need to hear, the public needs to hear, but also, you know, aviators that are struggling need to hear your story too. So I am still processing losing John. I honestly can't believe that we've lost a member that's been on our podcast. I didn't even think that scenario could play out. That's how, like, hard it is. I'm like, this is reality, though, is that we talk to people struggling with their mental health all the time, and we kind of have to prepare ourselves for that worst case scenario.
I just did not think that, like, of all people, and it's not of all people, but it's just, like, in talking to him, like you said, it felt like, you know, that was his survivor story, like, he was on the other side. But it was a reminder, you know, like, people struggle, and it's not just, sometimes people's struggles aren't short intermittent periods of time. Sometimes it spans across months or years, or it affects them their entire life. I'm just in disbelief. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she's like, you've been doing this and you've been talking to a lot of people that have felt this way. Like, she was like, I don't know why, but I feel like I'm surprised it hasn't already happened to you guys. And at first when she said that, I was like, oh my God. But then I thought about it and I was like, yeah, you know, you're kind of right. With the current state of things, you're right. You're right. And it's really fucking unfortunate that it is now 2024, that people are forced to live that way. And I say forced because I'm sorry, but if you're going to choose between your livelihood and your mental health, you're going to choose your livelihood. And there's a reason why things get this bad. People like John don't just wake up from one day feeling happy, perfectly fine and stable and normal, to going to having suicidal ideation, having suicidal thoughts. It's not an overnight process. It's something that happens over a period of time. If you're able to catch it, it's not as severe, but these people aren't able to catch it. They're not able to treat it. Of course it gets severe. You know, I see people make the excuse a lot that, well, if you're having suicidal ideation or you've attempted suicide before, you're not fit to fly, or you're not fit for duty, you should never be a pilot to begin with. And that's honestly bullshit. Like, look at the track of things. Look at the way things work. There's a reason. There's a reason for that. And to put that blanket statement on someone, you're just as bad as the fucking FAA. Like, I cannot believe that I've caught people commenting that on our posts, on your posts. Fuck it. I just delete it. Like, I don't even care. Don't. It's honestly offensive. It's honestly fucking offensive. And if you have that mindset, like, just, I don't even, please do not listen to this podcast any longer. There's a reason why people get to the place that they're at. And these decisions, I don't feel like are made randomly overnight. It's things that were thought out. And for him to be in that much pain, that's the other thing that kills me, is like, it takes an incredible amount of pain and an incredible amount of sadness to get to this point. Mm-hmm. I don't have much, like Maddie said, I'm still trying to like come to terms with this. I'm in utter shock. And the fact that this happened the same day as the kid in Texas, I'm just like, what the fuck? It was just, I already that morning, it was like my entire phone, I felt so somber the entire day. I was like, how is this fucking happening again? Like, I cannot believe this is happening again. No, like, how? And then that afternoon, like, I'm getting ready for bed and you text me and I just like, I don't.
Yeah, it's heavy stuff. And I think that it's good for our audience to know, like, that we do, it is hard for us, like, Em and I, to come and record this. We were supposed to record 2 days ago, and Em and I were like, oh God, like, it's triggering, like, the fact that we've been working so hard for the last 3 years, and then we've had someone on our podcast who's really believed in our ability to advocate and is thanking us for helping, and he still takes his life. It's like, it's a freaking stab in the heart. And it's just so, it's really hard to like look at the FAA and hear them say the things that they say while seeing all of these people die. And I had to put a document together the other day because Anne was asking me to do that for Anne Hauser. She wanted a document of all the people that we've talked to, Em and I have talked to, have passed away, and there's 15 people on there. I was like, Jesus Christ, that's 5 people a year for Em and I. And, you know, a couple of those people, I've not like 100% confirmed them to be at death by suicide, but there's been speculation enough to know that that's probably what happened. And so when you start really thinking about that and all the lives that have been affected, because all of our lives have intertwined, it's hard to stomach it and talk about it all the time.
Yeah, I know. I had a lot of people in my DMs, as I bet you did, like asking us to, when are you going to speak on this? When are you going to talk about this? And like, it's like what we talked about right before we hit record. It's like, I don't want to do this right now. This is literally the last thing I want to fucking do. I don't want to talk about this. I don't have the bandwidth to talk about it. But if we don't, it's insensitive. And we preach all the time that we're not going to sweep things under the rug. So we're not going to do it. But, you know, but this is not an easy thing for us to do. You know, and it sucks because I think Maddie and I also are like, a little bit in that, damn, like we should take care of our own mental health. Like, what are we doing to take care of our mental health? Are we being affected by this stigma? I will say myself, I am. I fight every single day to change it, but I mean, I'm struggling with that stigma. I know a lot of people are. It's like a reality check on so many fucking levels, but it like makes me sad seeing people be so passionate writing paragraphs and speaking on this so broadly and so intensely. And I want to reciprocate that energy, but now more than ever, and even before this, I have felt so numb to it all. And I have never felt like more, I feel really numb, but I feel everything all at the same time. I really don't know how to describe it, but it's just like, I'm getting to that point of, there's nothing left to say. That we've said everything that we need to say, and we've been barking really fucking loud, screaming it at the top of our lungs. Like at this point, it's just watching people die and waiting for people to die and waiting for the people at the FAA to wake the fuck up. And I know they're woken up to it, but things are not happening fast enough. And I'm sorry, but people are literally dying because of this. And there are people dying that don't make the news. There are people dying who we are not hearing about. It's not being discussed. We're also forgetting the fact that there is a stigma against suicide, about suicide, that is far beyond just the aviation industry. It extends deep into people's families. I would say that half of, I mean, that's a broad term, but half of everyone, I would say, has somebody in their family that deals with the stigma surrounding suicide. And there are a lot of people that I feel like we don't hear about it because their families aren't going to acknowledge it or make it public information. And that's really, really sad. But I don't know. I want to give you guys some perspective of, just because we don't see it in the news or just because Maddie and I don't talk about it, doesn't mean it's not happening. It happens. We have talked to people that are in the airlines who are telling us, giving us quotes of like, I mean, it's anywhere from 2 to 3 people a month. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, are you serious? Like,
yeah. And I wanted to make a point about that too, because I feel like even families that we've contacted where they know that their loved one has passed away, like I said, like this stigma is so heavy that even their families won't speak out. And it reminds me of, you know, Uncle Andy. It's just like, there are so many pilots that are killing themselves at home that we don't even hear about, that we will never know about because their families aren't going to speak out about it, because it is stigmatized and it's looked down upon, or they'll try to make up some random way of how this person died in their minds just to appease how they died. Mm-hmm. So that's the other thing, is like, Em and I've contacted many families who will, and I don't blame them. Like, they probably feel a little shame from that, and they shouldn't. I don't agree with that, but I also understand how they could feel that way and why they won't share that story. And it's also difficult to freaking rake up a story where your loved one has killed themselves. Like, that's just not easy to talk about. So we're putting all this pressure on families and those who have been traumatized to keep mulling up their traumatic moments so that someone will pay attention. This is also reminiscent of when you went in on the hill, when we went together and you were telling your story, like just how emotionally draining that is. But that's where we're at. That's the only way the FAA is going to change, is to get these people to tell their traumas out loud. And they know that that's difficult for people to do, which is why we're in the position that we're in.
That's why I feel like sometimes people might feel like I'm a broken record for commending our guests coming on the show, but to have the courage to come on, to speak to the public on a platform where you can't, like, it's not everyone, anyone can listen to this. It's bold. It may not be live. Yes, we may have questions already prepared, but it's still, it's a lot. It's a lot to share that, such a personal detail about yourself, about your loved one, to the world like that. And I mean, I deal with that on the daily. I wish we could dedicate a whole episode to how I feel about doing what I've done and the way that it's made me feel. And I mean, not a day goes by where I don't get anxiety about everything that I do on this platform. In one way or the other, like, there are different reasons for those anxieties, but I can fully understand through that experience why people
don't want to
share their story, or why it is such an honor and a feat and something to commend when people do, because both is hard. It's just really a challenge. And I mean, personally, within my own family, this has been a struggle. Like I've said, I grew up with such a terrible stigma of suicide that I grew up with. So of course, when my uncle killed himself, it was like dropping an H-bomb on our fucking family. It was like a nuclear bomb. Here we are. And it's still to this day, like, I had to come out of my own mindset about how I felt about suicide after my uncle took his own life. Like, it took me a while. Like, it was very challenging for me. I was upset. I was hurt. I think I've said this. Selfishly, I was very angry. I didn't understand why he did that so soon after my dad died, because I thought he was going to be there for us. And that's really fucking selfish. And now I know why that's selfish, but I know so many people who are, you know, existing loved ones of people who have lost who have been lost to suicide, I know they may feel that similar sentiment. So I can understand, like, all of this comes from a place of love for me. So I don't know. I'm getting on a sidetrack, but
no, you're not sidetracked. But I did want to add to the other elements of like telling your story that other people don't think about is like, other onlookers, audience people, or people with aviation expertise can take your story and wield it in their own ways without asking. That can happen, which can be very emotionally taxing when someone utilizes your story for their own ways. And then the other thing that I think is like, when you're trying to tell your story and people think, oh, well, you know, there's a better way to tell your story. And when it hasn't happened to that person, it can be really aggravating. So I think it's important to remember that when you're telling your story to like stay in your truth, you know your story best. This has happened to you. And be as vulnerable as you can with the people that you trust. You know, I just had a recent conversation with someone and I was like, how do you know who you could tell about your mental health? Because obviously there's a stigma. And she just said she could tell like who will be accepting and who won't. But at the same time, I'm like, how sad, because if you tell someone you have cancer, no one is like, I don't want to hear your story, or I don't believe you, or, you know, you should just, you know, eat more healthier and drink more water and sleep better and you won't have cancer. But that is what happens with mental health. So we have a long ways to go as a society in destigmatizing mental health and understanding it.
Yeah, for sure. So we're not done, y'all. We have more unfortunate news, as we've like alluded to multiple times. Y'all have probably, everyone should have heard at this point about the student in Texas, Logan Timothy James. So Maddie, I'll let you read from that Flying magazine about him.
Okay, so the article says, authorities in East Texas are investigating what appears to be suicide by airplane the night of January 24th. A release from the Texas Department of Public Safety states the airplane, a 2023 Cessna 172 Skyhawk, was stolen from ATP Flight School at Addison Airport, KADS, located just north of downtown Dallas, by Logan Timothy James, 23, from Stokesdale, North Carolina. James was alone in the airplane. The FAA pilot database shows James was issued a first-class medical certificate in May and held a private pilot certificate with an instrument rating issued in December. And then it goes on to say, according to Aviation Safety Network, the airplane took off from KADS around 7 p.m. Central. The aircraft's ADS-B track shows that it then headed east, turned north over Sulphur Springs, Texas, then turned again heading northwest towards Paris, Texas. The aircraft then entered a steep dive, with the ADS-B showing a descent of 4,736 feet per minute, and it impacted the ground in an open field 9 miles northeast of Telephone, Texas, around 8 o'clock at night. So, like Emma said, that happened the same day as John. And for me now, I'm getting to that place where it's like, when these things happen, so over the years I've been diving into and investigating like all these things and trying to get as much information as possible, and this one was really different. And I don't know if it was just because that same day John had passed, but I think a lot of it was because I was like, if I do this again, it's like, it's really emotionally triggering, you guys. Like, when you weigh in how much work you've done, how many people have been affected by this, and all the hours and the arguing and the, you know, the debating and the discussions and the time you don't see Emma and I behind the scenes, like Emma and I have, God, if I accrued all the hours that we've talked and talked, probably add up to a year by now. But it's so difficult, because once you start diving into these things, it brings up a lot of different emotions. And then you start remembering all the people who have passed, and we have all these relationships with family members. And then that starts, you know, making me more emotional. So when this happened, I really didn't go and deep dive into the internet. This article is probably the second article I pulled, and it was for the show note, because I was like, we need some details on this and I don't know them.
Yeah. It's also like, at this point, we've been told so many times, like, don't speculate, which really pisses me off. Like, so there's, I wish I knew the name of, you know, the Instagram page that shared the audio, the video. Do you know
it was a tower. It was an air traffic control person. I forgot. ATP tower, maybe?
I don't, I don't know.
Look it up.
Look it up. But okay. Basically my thoughts on this were, so many people in the comments on that video were like, don't speculate. This is fake. Don't speculate. This is fake. The amount of people that were saying that it was fake, I was like, what the hell? Like, people. And then there were people on Reddit saying, oh, don't speculate. This is fake. So I just. But
he left a note.
He literally left a note. But this is what the point that I'm getting to is, you guys, at this point, when things are so in front of our face, it's like, I cannot believe that you're spending your time and energy and your focus is, oh, this is a hoax or this is speculation.
Don't speculate. Maybe the same thing happened with Joe, though. I think it's not that Emma and I are like these, like just the smartest people in the world, but I can say that we have an eye for things. Like, we have an eye for planes going down, and it may
be. But it's just like, read the fucking room.
I know. Honestly, it is. But at the same time, I'm like, all of our speculating that we've done, most of them, like, I don't even know when we've been wrong.
I don't know. I'm just like, if it smells like fish, it's probably fish. Like, there are things that you're just like, read the fucking room. Like, the fact that the whole China Eastern thing isn't being. If it looks like shit, if it smells like shit, it's probably like shit. Anyways, but this is why, like, these comments made me mad, because there were also people saying, oh, this is fake because if you Google it, there's nothing on the news. Guarantee it happened. Like, when people are leaving these comments, this is like, this happened like 2, 3, 4 hours ago. Of course, there's not anything on the internet. But as these things are being posted, more and more is coming out. And I'm like, yep, not fucking speculation. Like, this is the truth. So I'm going to read more from the Flying magazine, but essentially this was the stuff that came out as this was all unfolding. It says the recording of James' last conversation with Addison Tower has gone viral. So it says, so this is what he said. Addison Tower, career track 655, is actually going to depart to the east. I'm climbing through the clouds, and then I'm just going to head outside of everything. And at right around now, you'll probably realize I'm not going to listen to y'all's instructions, and I'm going to head east Texas. I'm going to head to east Texas. I'm career track. So I'm going to pull the COM 1 circuit breaker and the COM 2 circuit breaker right as soon as I unkey the mic, and immediately it cuts out. The control tower calls career track 655 asking, say again, but there's no reply. Authorities stated James left a suicide note at his resident in Dallas. So yeah, I mean, it, like, you listen to the video, it's, I don't know, it is honestly kind of triggering. Like, listen at your own caution. I did share it to our Instagram story on the Pilots Pandemic, so if you haven't already seen it there, I'll probably include it in the episode stuff for this week, but you can find it. I think, Maddie, you posted it to your main grid, right?
Yeah, it's on there. It's the comments, don't trigger yourself in the comments, because there's a lot of mean ones on there.
On your post?
Well, I mean, it's just like in the, like, people commenting back and forth. There's, you know, a real doucher on there just commenting away how he
what
thinks.
Did he say? Or can we say what he said? I'd love to read it.
It's just funny because, like, a lot of these people, I feel like they don't really even know how the special insurance process works or how the air medical system works. So for them, it's very black and white. And we can have this discussion, right? Like, I think for most people, having a mental health diagnosis is very black and white. Like, oh, well, you have a problem if you have anxiety or depression, and you should take medication for that. And I don't know if you could fly a plane. I feel like that's kind of how most of the public views it. At least the older generations. There are some younger generations, though, that believe the same thing. But I think why I say that is because it is so black and white. And I feel like there's so much gray area when it comes to your mental health. We don't really understand the brain. And so that's my thing, is like, some of these comments, they're like, no one should fly with depression. And then I have to tell them, hey, there's pilots already flying on special issuances who are diagnosed with depression, and they're flying fine. they're approved to fly. And then their comment is like, if anyone has suicidal ideation, obviously they shouldn't fly, which is obviously banned. But I don't know. I think that the comment, I don't want to read those comments on there because they don't really have any merit. It's just like someone's, back ass opinion, and they are keyboard warriors. And I
Yeah.
don't think that they definitely think that in real life, but it's so easy to make those mean comments to people online. I
But I
didn't
think
really
it's,
reply to anyone because I was like,
yeah.
I don't need to. This speaks for itself.
I'm glad you pointed that out though, because I like we don't have to read them, but it's good that you touched on that because this is what I'm talking about when I say these comments about speculation and we shouldn't talk about this, or people saying that people shouldn't fly if they've had suicidal ideation, or people with depression shouldn't fly. It does get commented. Like I don't understand though how people like that. I don't know. I feel like maybe we're lucky because if this platform was on TikTok, I feel like that'd be every other comment. Like,
It might
absolutely
be.
barbaric and ruthless on that freaking platform. But I don't know. It just kind of makes me, I don't know. Sometimes I lose faith in humanity a little bit, but I know that those people are few and far between. So
But you know
probably
what's
shouldn't
hilarious,
ruminate on
or
it.
the irony of it all, is I feel like the people who are the most angry about it or the most mean and feel like some type of way about it probably have a little mental health issue themselves.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely coming from somewhere. So let's unpack that. What
Yes.
happened to you?
Tell
Like, where did we go
me your
wrong?
trauma, dump it out, and you're gonna feel a lot better.
Oh, Jesus. Well, that's kind of all we have for this episode. I don't know if there's anything else that you would like to touch on. I'm sorry it's short this week, guys, but I
I
mean,
think I'm just gonna say it, guys. I know we say it every podcast, but if you feel some type of way about this and want to put your effort towards making reform and advocating, please join us at the Pilot Mental Health Campaign. Emma and I are doing a lot of work over there, and we need as many hands as we can get. It's something that I feel very passionately about, and honestly, telling your story is probably the most important thing that you can do for change. The more and more stories collect, the more and more the FAA can't say this isn't happening. And like I said, Em and I, now with the Pilots Pandemic, since we've been around for almost 3 years now, the FAA knows who the Pilots Pandemic is. They're listening, and they're not seeking retribution against anyone. I know that's a big worry, but we have to be courageous enough to tell our stories even when it's scary. And I promise you that nothing's going to happen legally against you for telling your truth about what has happened to you in the air medical system. But that's all I got.
well, that's a good place to end it on. Please, yeah. I mean, like the woman said, please join us at PMHC. Come to DC with us in March if you're able to. If you would like to share your story, we're doing a DC fly-in. You can sign up for that at pmhc.org. And we'd love to meet you all there. We have a couple of people that have been on the show that are going to be there with us, and I'm really excited to get to meet everyone in real life. It does, like when things like this happen, it does make it worth it all to be able to unite together. Like it, seeing everyone be together and planning to have everyone together makes it all feel like, okay, we're doing something, like we're doing this for a reason, and
Yeah.
something is going to happen. We are doing something about it. So it does make me hopeful and it gives me a glimmer of happiness.
Yeah. And
But
I
anyway.
like that we get to connect with people. I think honestly, that's the driver behind what we do on is meeting everyone. And I mean, I get a lot of purpose obviously from putting out the work and stuff, but I think the actual human connection is like intangible. Like it's something that should happen, and it's exciting. Like I think Emma and I were really reinvigorated after DC, and then before this next lobby day that we do in March, we're gonna go to NGPA, their event that they're holding in February. So if you guys are at NGPA, definitely let us know, and then we can meet up with you too.
Yes. We'd love to meet everyone, anyone who's there. But yeah, that is all for this week's episode. I guess I do want to take a moment to just like say, like, if you are feeling some type of way, like I know we always say 988, like there is help out there, but there is help out there. So please like speak to a loved one, anyone, a friend, anyone. Just know that there are people out there who love you, care about you, and that you're not alone. I know it can feel very isolating, but you're not alone. And yeah, so 988 help is available. And if you're struggling, please contact them or please contact a loved one, a friend, anyone that you can think of. But yeah, that is it for this week's episode. We will speak to you all next week. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and thank you all for supporting us through this journey. It has been a long, tough one together, but we are not done yet, and we haven't lost our fight. This only puts more fire underneath my ass to keep on pushing harder. So, anyways, all right, toodles, y'all. Talk next week. Bye.